Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Mark 9:23. It says, "And Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.'" Holy Spirit, help me today and just speak through me and clear my mind and let me just say something that blesses and builds up and helps. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All things are possible if I can only believe. I don't know how many of you ever remembered a guy named R.W. Shambach. Anybody remember Shambach? All right, about half you. Boy, that's sad that a bunch of you don't know who Shambach is, man. That's sad. But he's a old-time faith healer, man, and I used to listen to him on the radio when I first got saved, and he'd always say, "You don't have no problems. All you need's faith in God." So I ask you today, can you believe? Can you believe? I don't need to take time for this, but he used to, back in the 70s, we had a radio program here called Victory in the Camp, and me and Bruce Hensley and Steve Linger, we took turns doing it, and anyway, I'd listen to Shambach on the radio, and then I'd go on the radio, and I hadn't been saved but about a year or two, and I'd go on the radio and act just like Shambach, you know, and I'd go on there, I'd go, "All you that are sick, lay your hands on the radio," and man, I'd start having people call saying they got healed and all kinds of stuff, and I was just trying to act like Shambach. So let me say today, you don't have no problems. You just need some faith in God. Faith. Let's talk about faith a little bit. Hebrews 11:1 says, now if it's okay, there'd be a few scriptures on the screen here to start with, but then I'm going to just read some scriptures and just talk a little bit today, okay? It doesn't do any good for me to talk about faith if you don't understand what I'm saying, right? If I don't say something that's going to help you when you leave here, then we might as well go to the house now and go to the picnic with the kids. But I'm believing the Holy Spirit's going to say something that'll help you today. But Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, let me read that again and fill in some gaps. Now faith is the substance. It's the assurance. It's the title deed. It's the guarantee. It's the reality. It's the confidence of those things that we've hoped for. Those things that we are confidently expecting. You with me? Faith is the assurance, it's the title deed, it's the guarantee of those things that I'm confidently expecting. It's the evidence, it's the proof, it's something that's tried and tested, it's the conviction of the things not seen. Or in other words, faith is my knowing, my confidence in, my knowing that I have what I'm believing for before I see it. Okay? And then Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now let me fill in some gaps. But without faith, total belief in him and in his faithfulness, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, he who approaches, he who draws near to him, must believe that he is, must believe that he exists, that he is who he says he is, and that he's able to do what he says he'll do, and that he is a rewarder. I love that word, rewarder. You know what that means? It means one who pays wages. You didn't get that? See, we're afraid to ask God for anything, but God wants. He's a rewarder, man, and he has unlimited access to pay wages. Huh? See, some of you work for your employer, and you don't get the wages that you want. You ought to start working for your God and let him give you his wages. Huh? He'll even use your employer to bless you. But he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him out, search for him, investigate about him, crave him, demand him, require him. I just want you to get a little bit of feel for that. Faith, because we're just going to talk a little bit today, okay? But I heard Jerry Seville say this. He said, faith is a deep conviction of the reality that it is impossible for God to lie. You with me? See, we're running through all these little mental things, and we got all these weird ideas about faith, and we got all these things, and I'm just saying, faith is simple. Just believe God. Huh? Just believe God. Let me read you something out of Isaiah. Just believe God. Believe what he says. Believe his word. This is what he said about his own word. He talks about just like rain comes down from heaven, and it doesn't go back up. It stays here, and it produces crops. It causes the grass to mow, so you'll have to mow it again this week. It causes your garden to grow. It doesn't go back up. It comes down here. The rain comes, and it does. It works down here, and it does what it's supposed to do. You with me? And he says, just like that, he said, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or fruitless. It will accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that for which I sent it. Now you got that? His word. What he says will work. And faith is just simply me being convinced that he doesn't lie. And that what he says will work, will happen. A good example of that is Abraham. Romans 4, he talked about Abraham, Paul did, and he says he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced, I love that, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. being fully convinced. So I guess faith is me being fully convinced that God can't lie. If he said it, it will happen. Well, do we believe that? Do we believe that? We all say yes. And a lot of times I think I do. But how does that work? Well, we know Romans 10 tells us, so then faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the Word of God. I like to read it like this. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Because you see, we think faith is something I have to do. It's a look on my face I have to get. It's that spiritual thing that we slip into, that mirage or whatever. But no, faith is just me believing God. Just believing what He said. I don't have to go to seminary. I don't have to know everybody's theology. I don't have to understand all the Greek and the Hebrew. All I have to do is believe what God said and be convinced. Man, if you said it, Father, it's going to happen. Huh? Well, then let's just talk a little bit. I'm just going to read you some scriptures and talk. We'll go as long as I have time. I won't keep you late. But you see, if we hear some word, and it's just something. See, the word is what works. It's not that I work. It's the word that works. So the more of the word that I get in there, the more things that are going to happen. And they just start happening naturally. They just start happening without me sometimes even being aware of it. Faith just comes out because that's what the Word of God does. It changes me. It does things inside of me. It does things inside of here. It changes. And then all of a sudden, man, you're not just reading it and thinking it. All of a sudden, you're doing it. If I read it long enough, and I will believe it. And if I believe it, I will act it out. And it'll work. Because it's the truth. It's the truth. Well, let me just... I got so many papers here, but let me just read a few. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. Well, now, do we believe that? See, if you believe it, then you do it. Huh? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll have my commandments and you'll do them. You with me? Now, I'm just talking here because we're afraid to talk about all this stuff, but does this work or not? I mean, is this word the truth or not? Do I believe it or not? See, what this tells me is that, and he goes on here and he says, I will rebuke the devourer for you. Why will he do it? Because I bring my tithes and offerings into the storehouse. Stay with me. He'll rebuke the devil for me. And he won't be able to destroy the fruit of my ground. He won't be able to cause my vine to fail. He won't be able to stop the fruit of my field, says the Lord of hosts. Now I want you to understand what he's saying here. He's saying, Hank, now you have to apply this for yourself if you want it. And if you don't want it, no big deal. If you got Jesus in your heart, you still go to heaven. Huh? You just have a little more trouble while you're here. But what he's telling me, he's saying, Hank, if you'll do this, I'll take care of the devil in all those areas. I'll rebuke him for you. He goes on and says, try me or prove me and see if I won't do it. Did you know that that's the only place in the Bible where God tells us he'll rebuke the devourer for us? Every place else, Jesus said, I've given you authority over the enemy. Huh? Think about it. Well, first off, let's ask, is it worth doing? I mean, why do we do it? I mean, is it worth doing? Is it worth having a strong church? I mean, is it worth, I mean, you know, it's not just because you give to the church. Is it worth having a vehicle that can reach people? Is it worth having a vehicle that can go on TV, that can go out and do things? Is it worth having a group? See, each of us individually can do a lot of things. But when we bind together, we can do a whole bunch of things. Now, is it worth having a place that you can come to on Sunday and be encouraged and be built up? Is it? Well, that's what he's saying. He's saying, bring it into my house so that there'll be meat, so that this place you bring it into will be able to touch lives. But what it says to me, do I believe that or not? What it says to me is, Hank, if you do what I say here, man, I'm going to take care of you. Did you know that's a decision I made almost 45 years ago? See, it's not a thing, well, now are we going to tithe this week or not? No, it's a decision that you make. Huh? And it's a decision. It was easy for me to make a decision like that because I married a girl that had been saved most of her life, and she knew it. And it's good to have a partner that you can agree with. Huh? Ooh, and two will agree and touch anything on earth, it'll be done for them. I'm just talking. Did you know that if every Christian paid tithes, you would never have to hear a preacher or a minister talk about a need? Wouldn't that be? You would never have to turn on a TV set and listen to people trying to get all your money. That's not even counting the offerings if every Christian just tithed. Y'all get quiet on me now. Just amen or something. And then see, then everybody will think you're a tither. See, if you just get with it and amen, and nobody will know the difference. And I don't know if you are. And that's not my business. That's you and God's business. But I'm just telling you some facts, okay? I don't go check. I could. I have the right because I'm the pastor, but I don't go check. I want that to be between you and God. And if I knew who did and who didn't, I couldn't stand up here and talk about this, could I? Well, and I'm just talking about from God. So what's the reason? Well, God says, Hank, I want to open up a window in heaven and pour you out so much that you don't have room to receive it. And I say, okay. Huh? Now, I don't take tallies every week to see if I got back to you without you. No, man, I just walk. We talked last week about having joy and peace and the joy of the Lord. I just walk knowing my Father's taking care of me. When challenges come up, when things happen to me, I just keep walking because I say, man, you know what? I used to have a car lot for years around here, and ever so often they'd steal cars. One time they broke in and stole 7 or 8 cars and all the keys to all my cars, and I had like 50 cars. And I stepped in there and went, ugh. And one of my salesmen said, Hank, and you know, you couldn't afford insurance being a small business person, and one of the guys said, Hank, what are you going to do? I stood there for a minute and I said, that's why I paid my insurance Sunday. He said, well, we have insurance? I said, I got the best insurance in the world. I said, I paid my tithes Sunday. And I said, God's my insurer. And he's able to, and you know, every time something like that had happened, I'd just call it to his remembrance. You know, Isaiah, he says in Isaiah, call me to remembrance about my promises that I've made. Speak them to me. Just remind me of them. See if I won't bring them to pass in your life. Huh? You see, I'm just talking about being able to walk in faith. We got all these ideas about faith, but faith is a lifestyle. It's not on a shelf and you reach up and grab it when you need it. Because usually when you do that, it doesn't work right for you. Anybody ever experienced that? Don't raise your hand. So I walk with that confidence. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions. Whew, that's all your possessions. Honor him with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. You say, well, I don't have any barns. Well, I know you got any bank accounts. How would you like the bank to call you up and say, listen, son, don't send in, don't put any more money in here. We're already past what we can insure you for. Don't bring any more money down here. Your account's too full. Don't bring any more. I'm just going to prophesy somebody's going to have that problem. Now, see, every one of you ought to went. See, like they did. Everybody ought to went, yeah, that one's mine. But here's the thing about that is, God says, Hank, man, I want you to have overflowing. I want your barns to be full. Hank, I want to fill you with fresh, new ideas, new wine inside of you. I want my Holy Spirit to be able to lead you into areas and things that you never dreamed of so I can bless you. Anybody like blessing? See, now somebody, I don't know who you are, but if I see you, I'll look at you for a minute. But somebody, when I started talking about tithing, you turned it off. You haven't heard nothing I said since then. Because you think I'm trying to get your money. Huh? Man, don't let the devil trick you like that. Huh? Had a guy once say, well, Hank, I'm going to quit the church. And I said, why? He said, well, because I just can't tithe. And I said, well, don't quit. I said, can you give a dollar? He said, well, yeah, I can give a dollar. I said, well, why don't you start giving a dollar? And just give it to the Lord and talk to him about it and see what happens. He didn't quit the church. A few months later, I said, well, how'd that work out for you? He said, Hank, I gave a dollar. And he said, man, I was getting some of that. He said, I decided I needed to give five. And then I needed to give 10. And I said, so many things were happening in my life. He said, finally, I just decided, you know, this isn't very hard to tithe. What I want you to see is God says, Hank, I just want to bless you. I want to bless you. See, I'm talking about walking in faith. I walk in faith because I know things are going to work out in my good. I know they're going to work. It might look bad. What was the song we just sang? It might look like the devil's all around me, but God's all around me. You have to sing that song some more to learn the words of it. Huh? And I'm not saying that I don't face challenges, no, but it just doesn't matter what I face. I know my God's going to get me through it. Because I'm convinced. I'm fully convinced that he can't lie. That's what he said. Now, I've had to open up my book to Malachi a few times and read it to him because I thought he'd forgot it. Huh? He don't mind you doing that. He says, bring me in remembrance of it. See, when you do that, he understands, he knows then that you know it. And not only that, but then the devil knows that you know it. Well, let me read you another one since that one went over so good. I love y'all. Y'all just make it fun to be up here. And Ronnie, I won't pick on you today. Luke 6:38 says, give and it'll be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Will men put it into your bosom? For with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured to you, back to you. You know what that's saying? You ever wear any overalls? You got a pocket up here, and in the old days they had men will give into your bosom, man. I mean, they'll just be coming, sticking it in your pocket all the time, man. Huh? Whatever measure you measure out. Well, I just can't. I wish I could. I wish I could help them. Man, I tell you, you start helping people and you'll find out people start helping you. Huh? I love to help people. I love to give money away. I love to give stuff away. I mean, usually if you come work for me, I'm going to give you something before you get done. Besides money, I'm going to give you something, man. I had, it was Rob doing some plumbing for me one time. He's in heaven now. Praise God. I wonder if I'm sure he's met Brent and all the rest of them. But anyway, he was working for me, and so I had this real fancy knife, and I said, well, Rob, I said, here, I said, I just want to give you this. He said, you know what? He said, so-and-so told me, said, if you go work for Hank, said, he's liable to give you anything. Said, he gave me a TV. I love to give stuff away because I found out I get stuff back. You know, if every Christian believed this scripture, there wouldn't be any other Christians. None of us would ever have a need. How many ever asked God for some help and you didn't see the answer? You needed some help. You know why? You know why you didn't see the answer? Because whoever God spoke to help you didn't listen. I just want you to understand what we're talking about today, okay? And so, which one of you has got my blessing, huh? Well, but I don't pay attention to that part of it. Even though it happens a bunch, I don't pay attention to that part of it. The part I pay attention to, God, whose blessing have I kept that I didn't listen to you? Huh? Well, and he usually tells you to do it when you think you can't. Huh? Because it's not a sacrifice. Huh? It's not a sacrifice of love. If it just got more than you know, and you just do this. No, man, but it's, if it, man, that's all I got. God said, that's all I want. But then the next day he goes, look at this. Well, this is going over so good, I'll just keep on going. In Mark 10:29, I have to go on here because I want to talk about some other stuff too, but 10:29, he says, assuredly I say to you, no one has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wives or children or land for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Everybody say, now in this time. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions. I don't like that part of it, but you know, you have persecution because the devil is always trying to stop God's blessing from you. He's always trying to talk you out of doing what God told you to do. He's always trying to stop the things, your answers from coming to you. And he'll just make it real rough. But Jesus said here, said, we will receive. And in the age to come, eternal life. Matthew, he broke it down a little easier. He said, everyone who has left houses or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold in this life and inherit eternal life. Now, what that tells me is that if I'm going after God, whatever I have to turn loose of, whatever I have to miss out on because I'm doing for Him, He's going to abundantly give it back to me. You with me? I thought about this when I was thinking about this. I thought about Pam and I hadn't been married very long. I'd been saved about a year. And we lived in a little house down on Glendale Road. I think it had three rooms in it and a bathroom. We did have indoor plumbing. And we thought it was a mansion, boy. Huh? We was living on love, you know. And so anyway, I'll leave that one alone. But some of you went, huh? Huh? Anyway, we were down there and you know, hey, we had a lot of times when we had too much month left at the end of the money. And so we did bus ministry on every Saturday. And I had a man come to me, and he was my uncle, and he came to me and he said, Hank, he said, I got a deal for you. He said, if you will take this truck, this semi-truck, and drive this semi-truck full of suits up to Chicago to this guy, said, all you got to do is just drive it up there, they'll unload it, and then you turn around and drive back. He said, if you'll do that, said, it'll take you just a couple of days. He said, if you'll do that, he said, they'll pay you $500. Now, $500 then was like $5,000 or $10,000 now, you know. And I went, whew, I can't remember when I've seen 500 at the same time, you know, all in one pile, you know. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And I said, well, okay. I said, when do I have to leave? He said, well, you leave Friday and you get back sometime Sunday. And I said, Harold, I said, I can't do that. I said, I got bus ministry on Saturday. He said, no, Hank, you didn't hear what I said. All you got to do is drive the truck up there and let them unload it. He said, and they're going to give you $500 when you get back. I said, no, but you don't understand. I got a whole bunch of little kids that I'm bringing in on the bus. And I said, man, I've got to run my bus. Well, you know, that happened at the time Pam and I didn't have much money left, and we were needing some to pay some bills and maybe have some fun or something, but we were out. And I said, no. He thought I was crazy. I thought I was crazy. But I knew God would make it up to me. And you know, in the next week to week and a half, I stayed here and I run my bus. And I said, you know what, God, the return I'd like to have for that, I'd just like you to fill my bus up. I'd just like you to bring more people on my bus. Well, God can't stand it. He just can't stand it when you get that sold out to Him. He's going to cause an earthquake or something for you, man. Huh? He's going to cause something to happen. Because you're coming after His heart. Well, I'm not saying that to build me up, because, man, I wanted to go get the $500. But within the next week or two, we had more people had given us stuff and given us money, and stuff had come to me this way and come to me that way. And God just was showing me, I'm a good paymaster. Diligently seek me, because I pay good wages. Well, some of those things you don't ever forget. You say, well, okay, but we're talking a lot about money. What about some other things? I was going to tell you about Isaac in Genesis 26. Says Isaac sowed in that land, and he reaped the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And it says here, it says, the man began to prosper, and he continued to prosper until he became very prosperous. I like that. Matter of fact, I am going to tell you about that one, okay? It was a time of famine. And Isaac was going to go to a different land like his father Abraham had in the time of famine. But God said, no, you stay here and sow that seed in that old dry parched ground out there. You do what I say, and I'll take care of you. Now, can you imagine Isaac, the last little bit of seed he had? Max, the last tomato plants he had. Digging in that dry dirt and planting those seeds. Because he was obedient to God, it says that he reaped 100-fold that same year. It's impossible. I talked to somebody the other day and they said, man, I don't believe in that 100-fold stuff. I said, good, you won't have to worry about it. This is all about believing. Not telling people what you don't believe in. Usually you don't believe in something because you don't want to do whatever it was God told you to do. Can I just be honest with you? I love you. I want to help you. Well, I don't believe in it. Well, then don't worry about it. You won't have to worry about it. Are you saved? Yeah. I said, well, good. I'll see you in heaven. But you see, God's showing us His Word here. He's telling us His Word so that we have a way to beat the enemy. It's not just thinking about, oh, how good God is, how good. No, it's taking the Word and slapping the devil up the side of the head with the Word, and the Word will work every time. Paul says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, just whatever's going to happen's happened. Yeah, the devil's going to eat your lunch. That's what's going to happen. Unless you take a stand against him with the Word. What did he tell Joshua? He said, meditate in it day and night. Don't turn to the left or the right. Meditate in it day and night, and you'll cause your way to be prosperous. You'll have good success. Why? Because this Word, when you meditate in it, it does something inside of you. It works whether you know what's going on or not. We're so busy trying to dot all the I's and cross all the T's and figure it all out. Won't you just believe God? Thank you. Where two of us will agree. Well, in that dry ground. You know, God usually, when He tells me to do something, it's usually when I can't afford to do it. It's usually at a time it's not convenient. It's at a time and it doesn't make any sense to me at all why I should have to do that. I'm learning just to shut up. And if I think He's telling me to do something, I'm going to go try to do it. Well, what if it isn't Him? If you're trying to do it, if it isn't Him, He'll show you. He'll get you all squared away there. But I'd rather be trying to do something than sitting back going, well, now does He want me to do this? Or if you get to a crossroad, go one way or the other. If you go one way, you at least got a 50% chance of going the right way. If you don't go any way, you ain't got no chance. You with me? Oh, you couldn't get the... I ought to take another offering. This is so good. I won't. Man, I don't know if He's telling me this or that. Well, try it. If it's not Him, He'll say, now you're missing it here. And He'll get you right back on track because He sent His Holy Spirit to live in us and lead us and guide us into all truth. Well, what about some other stuff? What about healing? Do we believe it or not? We'll tell everybody about our sickness. We'll describe our sickness. We'll go to the doctor and talk him into what we think we have. I mean, we do everything but take the Word and believe what the Word says. And there's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. Who do you think gave them all the knowledge and wisdom they have? It's all because of the stripes of Jesus that there's any healing in the earth at all. You with me? So quit letting the devil play all that stupid stuff. I mean, we used to think, man, if I go to the doctor, that's nullifying my faith. God didn't make this so complicated so it wouldn't work for any of us. He made it so easy that it worked for all of us. If I'll just believe Him. Huh? Well, what does James say? James said, if there's anyone among you sick, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will heal you. It'll make you well. Well, I've had this thing for 20 days for, I just don't seem to be able to shake this thing. Have you done what he said? Well, but that doesn't make any sense to me. I know. Because your mind is not going to get you healed. Your spirit will if you plug into this Word of God. Well, I did that and I prayed and I did that and nothing happened. Hey, listen, faith is believing that you have it before you see it. Well, see, now we don't like to hear this, folks. Christians, we don't like to hear this. We want everything to be sweetie pie, sugar dumpling, you know. But God's put this here so I can walk through life and I can have confidence and I can know whatever the devil does to me, whatever he causes to happen, somehow, some way, God's going to take it and turn it for my good. Somehow, he's going to take it and make it strength for me. See, some of you hanging on to all your background, all your baggage through life. I was married to this one and she did this and then my parents were mean. They beat me when I was a kid. Man, why don't you let all that stuff go and quit looking for an excuse and just believe God? He's able to take all those negative, bad things that happened to you and turn them around and make them strength in your life. And you'll be able to help somebody else that's going through some of those things. Man, if I keep getting this good, I'm going to have to take an offering. Well, do we believe that? Do we believe it? If you believe it, you come down and let them anoint you. It's not because you went through the act of letting them anoint you. You went through the act. It's not because you went through the motions. It's because you believed that God said it. You believed it and it happened. Well, Isaiah 53 says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. And what he's saying is that when Jesus was being crucified, when he got beat, when he's been crucified, there were people standing around going, see, I told you he wasn't from God. This is God punishing him. He said, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He wasn't being punished because God wasn't pleased with him. He was being punished because God wasn't pleased with us. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace with God was on him. And by his wounds, by his stripes, by that beating he took, we are healed. Huh? So the devil doesn't want to turn loose. He wants to keep those symptoms going there. Just go, all right. But you can't stand against that blood. And if you kill me, I'm going to be with him forever. I got a better deal. Huh? See, we want to go, pray for me. No, man, do you believe it? Then just go on. I'm going to hurry here. but I'm not going to get as far as I thought I would. All my life, I had headaches. I had bad headaches. And I'm talking to somebody now. I'd have headaches sometimes that last 3 or 4 days. I'd have headaches so bad that I would take hands full of extra strength Anacins. I'd take like 5 or 6 at a time and take them every other hour, man. Just to get a little bit of peace. Just a little bit. And one day, it's been 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago probably, I'm going through this and I realize, man, I'm fighting for my healing and I'm fighting for my healing. And the harder I was fighting, the more stressed I was getting and the worse my head was hurting. And so I started changing my mind. And I would say, Father, you said, I'm healed. Jesus, you took those stripes so I can be healed. I receive that right now. And so, Father, I'm just going to sit here. And devil, you can just do whatever you want with my head, make it hurt as bad as you want, but I'm going to praise God. And I started doing that. Well, the headache didn't go away right away. And then the next day, week, I got another one and another one, and that kept happening. But I just made up my mind. And when it would come, I'd say, you know, I'm healed. And I just kept praising God and praising God. And then the devil, funny, see, he's got me a little feeling right there now that I'm testifying about this. But he is yesterday's news. Huh? He is washed up. Jesus kicked the snot out of him. Bruised his head. And I just began to praise God, and I just began to thank him. And I began to, you know, I don't get those anymore. I didn't really know when they stopped. I wasn't paying attention. Just one day I went, you know, I haven't had a headache in 3 or 4 months. Then the next time I thought about it, I said, man, I haven't had that in 3 or 4 years. And now it's been 15 or 20 years. Oh, do I still get a chance? Yeah, every once in a while I get a little thing. But you know what? I just made my mind, man, God, I'm praising you anyway. Huh? See, do we believe it? Do we believe it? Jeremiah, he said, I'll restore your health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. So I speak that for you right now. Some of you need your health restored. I just believe healing to come to you right now. Will you receive it? Will you receive it? And do you believe it? Then quit feeling yourself to see if it still hurts. Somebody said today, well, how do you feel, Hank? And I said, well, I don't know. Feel me and see. I don't know. We could go on, but what am I saying? I'm saying get some scripture. Meditate on some word. Huh? See, because God wants to bless us. He wants to help us. He wants us to walk with him. He wants people to look at us and go, whoo, that must be one of God's kids. Did you know that's the way Israel was in the Bible? Joshua sent people into the land, and the old gal told him, she said, man, said, we heard you was coming, and everybody's scared to death because God's people's coming in. Why, man, you listen to most Christians now. After 20 minutes of them telling you everything they've got and everything that's wrong with them and all the problems they got and all the... But, man, you want to go get drunk or something. Huh? Man, I'm telling you what, I used to like to get drunk. Now, some of you might still do, but you need to quit it. But I used to like to get drunk until I found out what God would do, and I said, man, that's better than any high I ever had. Amen. Huh? When I tasted that new wine, I didn't want the old stuff no more. You with me? Well, Jeremiah, God said through Jeremiah, he said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. They're thoughts of peace and not evil. They're thoughts to give you a future and a hope. Can you get it through your head? God wants good for you. I need to wrap this up. But Philippians, he says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Now, do you see what I'm trying to say? And I'm going to quit. I had some more there, but I'm going to quit. But do you see what I'm saying? I'm just saying God has given us, see, living by faith and walking in faith is just finding this word. Did you know that everything that you face in life, there's some scriptures that'll cover that? And when we believe what God said instead of what the devil said, things start changing. As you're reading through there, did you know that if God ever did it for anybody, he'll do it for you. Now I just read through, and every time I see that he did something for somebody, I go, I receive that, Father. I want that too. Huh? So sometimes I just even sound greedy. I say, give it all to me. Just give it all to me. I want all you got, God. Huh? Well, that's better than going, oh, if I just had a little bit. Well, you got a little bit. Why don't you get a lot? Huh? I just want a little bit of healing. No, man, I want to walk in divine health. Well, let me end with this. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Hey! Got hell nervous today. Huh? Got hell nervous today. I wasn't saying y'all were hell. I didn't mean that. Got hell nervous, man. Got hell nervous. See, when we start breaking this down and seeing how simple it is, you know, hey, and while we were talking, every one of us in here blows it and messes it up. We all do. Jesus wouldn't have had to did what he did if we didn't mess it up. So he came and he didn't mess up so we could take all our mess up and trade it for all his not mess up. Huh? So the first thing you start believing for, the thoughts will start coming to you. Yeah, but you're not a good Christian. Yeah, but you're not worth it. Yeah, but you remember when you did this? Yeah, but you remember? Well, you didn't give your tithe. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. Just say, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, I didn't come into this world to condemn you. I came to save you. He's not going to give you condemning thoughts. Now that still small voice that speaks in there and keeps saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. But he's not going to come in here telling you how no good you are and how unworthy you are and all that. No, because he came so you could be worthy. He came so you could be good. He came so Father could look at you and say, the war's over. Peace, peace, peace. I like that, don't you, Max? The war's over. You don't have to fight for it anymore. He just gave it to you. Everybody stand. That's all right. Do it again and I'll sing to it. Was that my key? Everybody in here say something. Because I think there's somebody in here that you're not saved. If you don't know if you're going to go to heaven, if you'll say this prayer when we all say it and mean it, something will happen inside of you. So everybody in here, let's pray this together. Father, I want to be saved. Jesus, you died on a cross for me. Forgive me of my sins. Save me right now. I want to live for you. I need your help. Thank you for saving me. Whew, if you prayed that in minutes, something happened inside of here. Okay, and if you did, as soon as I dismiss, come down here and let me give you some information. I got a little book that I'd like to give you to help you get on your way with the Lord. And I'd like to say a little prayer for you. Because I want everybody to go to heaven. I want everybody to go to heaven. Anybody see the little spots on TV yet? A few of you? Well, we're going to put some more on. Starting some more next week, but... And I'll keep putting them on if some of y'all want to help me with the financial part of it. If you want to help me with that, I'll keep putting some of them on. But we're going to get some folks saved. I want you all to be saved. But I want you all to be blessed. And so how we're blessed is just by simply using our faith. And it's not hard. Can you believe? He didn't say get everything straightened out in your life first. Do everything right first. No, he said, can you just believe? Can you just believe? Because when he starts blessing you, you start fixing the other stuff. You want to. That makes sense? Well, I'll try to give you some more tomorrow. You look like a Some of you look like a deer caught in a headlight there. Father, I speak blessings on these folks. I thank you for them. I thank you for letting me be their pastor. I thank you, God, for loving us all. And I speak your blessings into their life. And I believe you to make yourself more real to them than they've ever experienced. And we'll give you praise for it. And it's all because of you, Jesus. So we thank you. We thank you. Hey, I speak his goodness and his blessings into you. I love you. Be here tonight for the suicide thing if you can. And if you can, I'll see you next week. Love you. If you just ask Jesus into your heart, come on down here. I want to pray with you.